You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Back and better than ever, Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance, live and laminated from our studios in New York. I'll explain. Legler is standing by. Hembo is mad at me, and he has every reason to be. Well, let's do that as well. It's time to get this ship started.
Here we go!
Only one place to start.
It's all over. The Atlanta Hawks have come from 30 down to beat the mighty Celtics. Hawks 120, Celtics 118.
Tonight was obviously tough. They got in a great rhythm, and we kind of turned the ball over a little bit, and they made some more plays than we did at the end.
Yeah, that was the NBA headline from last night. The Celtics, a 30-point lead on the road in Atlanta. They blow all of it, and the Hawks come all the way back to win. We'll talk some hoops with Tim Legler here this morning. All of my pages here are laminated. Our laminator extraordinaire, Pineapple Jack, laminated my rundown. He laminated my reads. It has thrown me off. It was funny, but it is also not very practical. So I'm working my way through that. But we had a whole lamination thing.
Well, Tim Legler, I wish I had someone laminate my stuff. There's nothing better than a good laminate.
Well, here's the thing. He has a lamination station over there in the other room. We learned this yesterday. And I was fascinated by it. And I asked him, could you laminate anything? And he said, and I quote, anything paper, which wasn't what I meant. But Pineapple Jack is not the sharpest cheese in our fridge. But anyway, none of that is the point. Hembo's mad at me,
okay,
and he has every right to be. Let me take everyone through what happened with Sneaky Hembo Trivia on Get Up this morning. The question is for Legler, and the question is, since the departure of Wilt Chamberlain, who averaged like 41.5 points a game as a Warrior, who has the highest career scoring average in Warriors history? So we're in the commercial break. Legler is going through all the answers. And what were you thinking?
Right off the bat, I said, well, Rick Barry certainly would be one of the two names, right? The legend from the 70s who led the NBA in scoring, prolific scorer. And then I thought about Chris Mullin, my former teammate, who I played with in 1995 with the Golden State Warriors, who put up big numbers there. Because I thought Curry's too obvious. It wouldn't be Curry, or he wouldn't ask this question. And you said?
He said it's got to be one of those two guys. And I said, or it could be someone else.
And that got the wheels turning a little bit, that I was forgetting someone. And, of course, that's when, right at the last second, Kevin Durant popped into my head.
And that was the right answer. And you got it right. And Hembo got beat on TV. And Hembo is mad because you, Hembo, believe that I gave him, not that I gave him the answer, but that he would not have gotten it right had I not stepped in.
Yes, which is why I'm doing the radio show today under protest. Yeah. We know that the commissioner's office generally does not grant them, but I'm doing it anyway. I'm going to be a good citizen, but look, let's be honest. I don't think you would have conjured Kevin Durant if Greeny had not egged you on just a little bit. You may have, but you may not have.
I might have at the last second, but the only thing I'll say is with all of the deceit that you typically put into these questions, you're the last person that should be complaining about a very subtle tip. I mean, that was a very subtle thing you said. Yeah. You didn't really lead me in any direction.
No, he should be the last person to be complaining about anything, quite frankly. So we'll just move on from that. All right, with the rare opportunity to have Legler here, we're working our way towards the end of the season, obviously, in the NBA. We got the March Madness going. I know you watched Caitlin Clark's game last night. She got very close to getting knocked out last night. I mean, she scored half her team's points. They're a one seed, but they have looked somewhat shaky. I think America... Well, certainly television people want Caitlin Clark to make it to the final. There's all the speculation. If she's in the final, would it have more viewers than the men and all that kind of stuff? At the end of the day, her team just isn't as good as it was a year ago, and they got very close to getting knocked out at home last night.
That was as close to just a straight-up alley fight as I've watched in a long time. That was a war, possession by possession. Look, Caitlin Clark, they won two games during the Sweet 16. She hasn't really played great yet. She hasn't really hit her stride. She seems to be very wrapped up in the emotion of the moment. I think there's an awful lot of pressure she's dealing with right now, and the level of scrutiny that she is under and the level of attention she's gotten over the last couple of months in particular, I think she's wearing it overtly right now. And it's probably a massive relief for her to get through these first two rounds. You might see now in this Sweet 16 game, finally, Caitlin Clark like have one of those, you know, special offensive nights, because she had good numbers last night. She didn't play particularly well, and she got some real help from some of her teammates late, Greeny, that helped to turn the tide in this.
And then on the men's side, I have to address something that happened here. And Legler, I was telling you about it. And look, I'm the first one to admit I've said a million stupid things on the air. I've been on the air 30-something years. Lord knows, I've said more than my share of stupid things that deserve to be called out, and I've been called out for them. But yesterday, what happened really kind of rubbed me the wrong way. So I'll explain. UConn, which is by far the best team in the men's draw, I do not believe anyone will play them within 10 points. I think they will win the championship again, and I think they will win all of their games by double figures. And I'm so overwhelmed by them, and candidly, they had just played my alma mater, Northwestern, the night before. So I opened up Get Up yesterday by saying to Jay Williams, come on, UConn is so good. UConn versus the Celtics, best of seven series, who wins? He laughs. Seth Greenberg laughs. I said, come on, Seth. You know that if UConn was in the Eastern Conference of the NBA, they would make the playoffs. We're all laughing. Like, I thought I was obviously kidding. And it became sort of a running gag through the show. So I said it a few different times. Well, UConn, who would make the playoffs in the NBA's Eastern Conference, it became a running joke. The next thing I know, someone says to me, my wife says to me yesterday, you know, you're trending. And I said, I'm trending? My show ended hours ago. What are you talking about? She said, well, everyone is saying that you said UConn is good enough to make the playoffs in the NBA. And which, of course, I said, but I was kidding. And I thought it was obvious I was kidding. So I want to ask the hashtag crew.
Yeah.
Hembo, Bubba, and Cam, you guys were with us. You were here yesterday and you watched Get Up. Was it not obvious I was kidding? Be honest with me. Because if so, then it's my fault.
Yeah, I would say it was not. I think you were kidding. I agree with you. I would say it was not obvious.
It was not obvious. I was kidding.
People pushed back. Cam was on say multiple people pushed back, and you were at no point did you imply that you were kidding. So I think I understand you were kidding, and I get it. We've talked all the time about when people say, "Oh, Alabama could win in the NFL," and you're always like, "That's the dumbest thing ever." So I get that you were kidding, but. From the on-air standpoint, I don't think there was any indication you were kidding.
So then it's on me.
I get why people took you seriously.
Then it's on me.
Some things are so ridiculous.
Right.
I mean, that they should, it should, you know, the saying goes without saying.
Right.
Sometimes it only goes if you say it, apparently. Right. you needed to say it, apparently. I wish I was there to help bring some rationale to, but listen, you're talking about the literal police out there in social media.
Do I have to telegraph I'm kidding about everything I'm kidding about? You thought I was serious when I said in a seven-game series between UConn and the Celtics, Bubba, that I thought UConn would win? You thought that I was being serious about that?
No, I'm not saying I actually thought it was serious, but I'm just saying I could see why everyone was saying it was serious. I assumed you were joking.
You did say it four or five times,
but you just kept saying it, and at no point.
But it had become by that point, Cam, you were here yesterday. It had become a running joke. It had become something we had started, and now we were joking about it.
If I had closed my eyes,
media literacy,
and your voice was altered, and I didn't know who said it, I would assume they were kidding.
Right.
No matter who said that statement, but I've known you a long time. Yeah. I know your sense of humor. It's called irony. It's right, and I get it. I'm surprised that more people.
All right. So anyway, I'm more than willing to admit I've said a lot of stupid things in my life, and I'm sure I'll say a lot more stupid ones. And UConn is going to win the men's championship, and they're not going to play a close game because they're just much better than everybody else. But I do not believe they would beat the Celtics in a best of seven, and I can't believe I need to say that out loud. That said, is anyone going to beat the Celtics in a best of seven? They blow that 30-point lead last night. Oh, thank you. They blow a 30-point lead last night. Right now, ESPN Bet has them an odds-on favorite to make the final, to win the East. Do you see any legitimate threat to them? Let's start in the conference. Is there a legitimate threat to the Celtics in the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, Milwaukee you would label as a legitimate threat because of the way they've turned everything around defensively in the last few weeks. And it's not – I watched him a lot in the beginning of the year. I watch him now, and Doc's clearly had a difference. But it's not so much, oh, wow, they're doing everything different schematically. They're just playing harder. And I think maybe there's a level of accountability that Doc Rivers could put on that team that maybe Adrian Griffin had a hard time doing because of Doc's experience in the league and relationships with people and just the way and his tone. He can demand certain things in a certain way to get that last 10 or 15% out of that team defensively in terms of effort. They're doing that now. Chris Middleton looks pretty good too, by the way, since he came back from his injury. That's a major component for them. So you'd have to label the Bucks as a legitimate threat. And then you've got some other teams that I think, you know, would probably be a compelling series, but ultimately,
like,
I think you could probably say that about the Knicks. I think the Knicks would be a team that could battle a team like Boston in a seven-game series. I think the Miami Heat would be interesting if they were in that position to be there. The Cavaliers, you know, with what they're going through right now with Mitchell being out as much as he has, they're an interesting team. All of those teams would be compelling matchups. They're not going to really seriously threaten the Boston Celtics. The Milwaukee Bucks would be the one team that you would look at and say, if they are fully healthy going into the postseason and those two teams met in the conference finals, that could be a long series.
Hembo, the Celtics are minus 140 on ESPN bet to get to the finals. Which side of that bet are you on?
I play it. I play the Celtics before I play the field. One team you did not mention, and I've got to ask, is Philly. If I told you right now that Joel Embiid is going to be 100%, and presumably fresh and healthy entering the playoffs, would you view them as a threat at all to reach the conference finals, perhaps even the finals for the first time in forever?
Yeah, I would, because that's the most significant X factor dropped into a playoff picture that late in the season in the history of the NBA. Right, a guy that big, that dominant, that unstoppable as an offense force. The question obviously would be, incorporating him back in and the flow offensively and his stamina, like where would that be? Like which have been problems for him in the past in the playoffs. So I wouldn't think that they could beat a team like Boston. Let's say they got them in the first round. I think they're probably going home in six games. I just don't think anybody has enough of what it's going to take to beat a buzzsaw like the Boston Celtics can be on given nights. I think they allow teams to guard them at times because they just hunt that three a little bit too often, too frequently. They string them together, a little bit of daylight, somebody shoots it. If you make teams work a little bit with all of the versatility that they have, that's when they look unbeatable. And ultimately, I do think that they're going to get through the East without a problem.
Legler in studio with us here, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. On the other side, the Nuggets have the best record in the West, but it is close. OKC has had a great year. The Timberwolves have had a great year. They're a bunch of really good teams. The big stars are all down towards the bottom of the playoff bracket. Luka and LeBron and Steph Curry, et cetera. Assuming you believe the Nuggets are the favorite there, who's the biggest competitor to them in a seven-game series?
The team I'm looking at now is Dallas. And I said it as soon as they made the changes and the acquisitions at the trading deadline. You know, adding P.J. Washington, adding Daniel Gafford. Just two more pieces that you can count on. And what they're getting right now out of their bigs, and Hembo and I were talking about this, since like early March, Gafford and Lively, the two guys that play center. So it's basically one person because they never play together. They play 40 minutes a night. That's, you know, starting center minutes. They're averaging 24 points, 12 boards, 3 blocks on 82% shooting. Like, this is the level of threat that they have become.
Yeah.
Like, young, bouncy legs all over the offensive glass. Great rim protectors. They've got enough shooting. And then they've got the one guy in the Western Conference that can control possession by possession to a greater degree than anybody, including Jokic. Luka can do that. He's proven he can do it in the playoffs. That's the team for me I'm looking at right now, assuming they can avoid Denver's side of the bracket, and we don't know what that's going to be because Denver could be 1, 2, or 3. We don't know what they're going to end up. If Dallas can just avoid Denver until the conference finals, I feel pretty confident right now that's the team that I can see being the last team standing against the Denver Nuggets.
As we speak, the Mavericks and Sacramento are tied in the 6-7 spot when there's a big difference between being 6 and being 7.
Yep.
Because 6, you're not in the play-in. All right, Legs, you're the best. Thank you. I'm glad you got the question right today. Speaking of the question, we have an early radio Hembo trivia today. Go.
Yes, the Los Angeles Dodgers, they have won the World Series 7 times. There are 5 franchises that have won more. And so you are going to give me the 5 teams with more World Series championships than the Dodgers. That is the group question today.
5 franchises with more than 7?
With more than 7.
More than 7 World Series, which is the Dodgers. The answer is next on ESPN Radio.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by.
Greeny, the podcast.
All right, Greeny with you on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. We got a lot to do here. We're going to answer our group trivia. We got to get into some of these scandals that are going on. Plus, I will let you hear what I said yesterday, or we will hear what I said yesterday, and we'll decide once and for all whether it was obvious I was kidding or not. We'll do that all after we remind you that ESPN Bet is now live. As the official sportsbook of ESPN, ESPN Bet is the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. Sign up today. New users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Find all your favorite markets and bets, like in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays, teasers, and all the props you can handle. That's ESPN Bet. Download today. What a play. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Go.
I'm looking at a list. I am looking at a list of most World Series championships by franchise. There are five that have won at least 8 World Series titles, and you are going to give me all 5 franchises.
And to be clear, the Dodgers were in the question. The Dodgers have won 7.
Mm-hmm.
And I will admit, if you had said to me this morning, before we had this, would the Dodgers be in the top 5 of most World Series won by franchise, I would have said yes. I wouldn't have started thinking through all the teams, but I just would have, my reaction, my reflex would be to say yes. But we now know there are 5 that have won more. So guys, let's go through. All right, everyone on, literally every human being on planet Earth knows the Yankees are one of them, right? You don't even have to say we're right. We know we're right about that, right? That one's obviously right.
27 titles.
Right.
Phew.
I am positive of 2 more because, and Hembo knows this, we are working on another book, not the one that's coming out this September, but a later one, and I have written chapters about 2 teams, and these 2 teams both qualify for this. So they are the Cardinals and the Giants. So I'm going to say the Cardinals and the Giants.
Those are both correct.
Yeah.
The Cardinals have won 11, the Giants have won 8.
Right. So we've got 3. Cam, you're telling me you are 1,000% sure the Red Sox have won at least 8 World Series.
Bubba's making me rethink it now. They do have 4 since 2000, and then obviously they had
one in
quite a while.
Years.
Yeah, I'm
famously.
I'm a little worried about that.
How many did they win with Babe Ruth? Like, they definitely were one of the best teams in baseball in the 19-teens.
Right.
But then they didn't win one from like 1918 until 2004, whatever it was. So, like, the Red Sox make me a little bit nervous. The one I think is right is the A's. The A's have won a bunch of championships in Oakland. They were the Philadelphia A's for a long time.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think we should go with the A's next anyway, because Let's just lock that in. Either way, we're going to need another one.
Right.
So let's just go with that.
We're going to go with the
Let's just see where we're at.
The Athletics.
That's correct.
Yep.
The Athletics have won 9 World Series championships.
I'm still confident in the Sox.
I don't have a better one. Like the only one that came up, someone brought up, was the Braves. Is it the Atlanta Braves? They just haven't won very many World Series in Atlanta. So
they had like 15 years where they won the division and went to the World Series
and
like
didn't win
eight they won, times, they won and they won once.
Time, yeah.
And then they won a couple years ago, and I'm sure they have a bunch back in the day. I don't think it got to more than 7.
By the way, my computer is going to restart
again
in 14 seconds.
What?
And I have a pretty complicated segment ahead of me here, and there's nothing I can do about it. So someone bring me another laptop, please, because I am going to need my laptop in order to do this segment. In the meantime, let's guess one more team. I don't have a better one than Red Sox. Do you guys want to go with it?
I like the Sox, I'll take the fall if this is wrong.
All right. If we're right, we all celebrate. If we're wrong, it's all on Cam. We will say the Red Sox.
And the correct answer is the Red Sox.
Yes!
Woo!
There we go. We did a back-to-back day.
Big time, big time.
Won 5 World Series titles between 1903 and 1918.
Dynasty.
Okay. There you go.
Let me just analyze what just happened here. Hembo, you just took my laptop but replaced it with nothing.
No, I have one for you, but I wanted to read the answer first.
Okay, fair enough. I'm just going to say, because I'm going to need to see all those things. And hopefully you can get mine restarted, which I'm not going to lie to you, is a nuisance. I'm not sure who's like our VP in charge of restarting computers here, but we need to have this stop happening
tomorrow. That doesn't fall under Jack's purview?
No, Jack laminated my rundown today, which is annoying, but he did not. He definitely cannot fix the computer.
Try to laminate the laptop.
All right, let's listen to me talking about UConn yesterday, and let's see if it's obvious I'm kidding. Now, this is just one reference that Bubba just found. It should be pointed out, we did this for 2 hours on television and then came here. But one way or another, this is what I said. And if those two guys hadn't gotten hurt, I think that we could have beaten any team in the tournament except Connecticut. Connecticut would make the playoffs in the NBA's Eastern Conference.
I don't think that's
UConn
true.
Is unfairly good. Yes, they are. They're ridiculously good. This tournament is the UConn Invitational. They should just change the name of it. They should actually just give out the UConn trophy to whoever else wins and just put them to the side. No one will play them within 10 points. Okay, so I hear it. In that reference, you're right. It's not obvious. I'm kidding. I mean, it's not obvious. I was going back to... I knew I was going back to a reference I had been making all morning, but I can see how others would not know that.
And this exploded on social media, which legendarily does not do nuance or context well, and also isn't in on the running joke.
Right.
Like, this was, I think, posted, Cam, correct me if I'm wrong, by Awful Announcing, and they just posted the clip without any of the other variations of the running joke.
Yeah, they're pretty good at that.
I get it. It's my job to be clear. I'm not blaming anyone else for this. It's my job to be clear. It's not your job listening to me to understand what I meant. It's my job to tell you what I mean. And I'm more than willing to accept the fact that I have said a million stupid things. It just bothered me yesterday because I knew I was kidding. And maybe, look, I grant, if it wasn't obvious enough that I was kidding, that's on me. That's not on anybody else.
I found the headline from Awful Announcing. Mike Greenberg makes absurd claim UConn could make NBA playoffs. It links to something, but it's just an image of you like pointing at Jay Will on the desk. So most people obviously don't even click the link because our media literacy is horrible these days. And they just see that and then it blows up the way it did.
Okay. What can I do? I mean,
nothing.
For
these
what it's
people
worth.
Just grab things and then post them, and no context is attached whatsoever.
For what it was worth, if I need to say this out loud, I do not believe UConn would make the playoffs in the NBA.
Would they go 0-82?
They would probably go 0-82. Yeah. I mean, it depends on the.
Oh, they'd win a game.
It would depend on the resting status of some of these other teams. Or, as we're going to get to in a minute here, it would depend on how hard everybody on the other team was trying not to make their props. Let's actually get to that. Because, look, the most important things that happened in sports yesterday were two unrelated, very significant gambling scandals.
The Scoop.
Let's do the Shohei Ohtani one first, because it involves Shohei Ohtani. And he's, like, the biggest star. He's one of the biggest stars in the world of sports. He is on a, like, Lionel Messi level, LeBron James level, international superstardom level in sports. And so he spoke yesterday for 12 minutes with a new interpreter. And I'm not going to play it for you because, of course, he's speaking in Japanese, and I'm assuming very few people in our audience can understand what he's saying. But I will just tell you that what he said very definitively and repeatedly was, I never bet on baseball or any other sports. I never asked someone to do that on my behalf. I've never went through a bookmaker to bet on sports. Up until a couple of days ago, I didn't know that this was happening. This was after his now former interpreter and close friend was fired in the wake of it being discovered, at least if we were to take the story at face value, that this friend had lost $4.5 million in gambling to a bookmaking operation in California that is currently under federal investigation, and that $4.5 million of Shohei Ohtani's money was transferred, wire transfer, to this bookmaking operation. Ohtani says that money was stolen, that he had no knowledge of it until it was brought to his attention by others. So, Hembo, we talked about this yesterday. There are almost no words to describe the magnitude of this story to the sport and maybe beyond. Having heard him yesterday, where do you stand?
I watched every second of the news conference yesterday, obviously found it to be incredibly compelling. Best guess here is that, you know, this is a prepared statement, you know, primarily worked on by his representation, but he definitely added attributes of his own emotion to it, which I found to be super important and interesting and noteworthy, if nothing else. Here's the thing. Nothing really changes in my mind based upon what he said, because he said what everyone knew he was going to say. Shohei Ohtani is lawyered up. The story changed from day to day, as we know last week when Tisha Thompson, our reporter, got one thing, and then the very next day, everyone was going with something else, and so this is the story they were going with. Here's the thing. If he is lying, we're going to find out that he's lying. And I'm certain that we're going to find out that he's lying because the investigation is too broad and that reporters are far too good to let him get away with it. It's just not possible. And so the vociferous nature of his denial, I think, is definitely noteworthy. But we've also seen that before. And his name is Ryan Braun. And his name was Pete Rose. And so this is not a new thing in baseball. Lord help us that he's telling the truth. But I remain pretty skeptical.
Well, there's something much easier here. There's something that was not involved with Ryan Braun. Well, I guess there was physical evidence involved in the Ryan Braun situation. There wasn't, to my knowledge, with Pete Rose. That there is here. And that is a wire transfer. Now, I don't have anywhere near the money that Shohei Ohtani does. But I have some money. And I know that there are times when I pay things by a wire transfer. And I know that no one, no human being, could wire money from my account, including my wife, and we share all our money. Let's make it clear. Like, my money and Stacey's money are the same money. I'm not suggesting it's my money. But neither Stacey nor I could ever wire money from one of our accounts without the other knowing about it. There are a number, I won't even go through the number of checkpoints, whatever the word I'm looking for is, checks and balances. If I'm going to wire money, I think anything over $1,000. So, I am very skeptical. Again, he has 100 times more money than I'll ever have. He probably is in a situation where other people are handling his money and maybe at many, many times without his knowledge of where it's being invested and all that stuff. He's got so much money. But what I'm saying is I am extremely skeptical of the concept that $4.5 million could be wired from a person's account and that person never know about it. That strikes me as extremely difficult to believe.
Especially when this is literally his best friend. The person with whom he has been closest with since his early 20s. For the better part of a decade, this is the person with whom Shohei Ohtani has shared the most stuff. Everything. So the notion that that could happen, I suppose, is possible. But if you're asking yourself, well, what is the most likely explanation? It's not that. It is most definitely not that. I also found it super noteworthy that there is nobody from the Dodgers up there talking, preparing a statement, answering questions. This is Ohtani. This is Ohtani's story. So I do bet, I should say this, I do wonder if the Dodgers themselves are skeptical of what he's telling them.
Well, listen, we're in a very dangerous area here. Not dangerous. We're in a very delicate area because what I'm indirectly accusing Shohei Ohtani of is the kind of thing that could get him banned from baseball for life, which I have to believe would be the biggest story ever I mean, maybe since Babe Ruth got traded for the rights to a musical from the Boston Red Sox to the New York Yankees in 1919, that there has never been anything that has happened in baseball as significant as it would be if Shohei Ohtani were to get the shoeless Joe Jackson, Pete Rose treatment. But so I am not in a position to accuse anyone of anything, and I'm not accusing anyone of anything. I'm merely saying, in the last year of Mike and Mike, I remember we learned about something called Occam's Razor. And what Occam's Razor is the concept that when you need to offer an explanation for something, any phenomenon that takes place, the likeliest explanation for it is usually the explanation for it. Not always. So are there circumstances in which someone, look, have people had $4.5 million embezzled from them, stolen from them in the history of mankind? Absolutely. Have they had it wire transferred, which so many people have to be aware of? I mean, I'm just telling you, for me to transfer $5,000 to you requires like six people signing off on it. I have to have like two things on my phone that I approve and all that kind of stuff. So how in the world does someone just transfer $4.5 million of his money and he has no idea of it? And I'm sorry, I don't believe it.
And best I can tell, there has still been zero explanation provided for any of that. And that is, of course, the most important thing here. Ohtani can say all he wants about his lack of knowledge and about his not betting on baseball or anything else. Like, it's easy to say, and that's what he's doing. He's doing the easy thing. He's doing the right thing. He's doing the thing he needs to do. But we actually have the paper trail. We have the electronic paper trail.
Right.
And if you can't provide us an answer on that, then none of the rest of it matters.
Yeah.
Because that's the actual thing that matters.
Because as I'm thinking this through, and Cam, I'll be to you in a second. As I'm thinking this through, I could easily see Ohtani himself maybe not having to be made aware of this. But someone would. A friend slash translator would not be a person who would have the authority, I find it very hard to believe, to just wire transfer $4.5 million from his accounts. Someone else, someone whose job isn't interpreter, but someone whose job is business manager, like financial manager, financial planner, estate wealth, whoever these people are who handle his money, someone would have to have known and would have called and said, hey, why are $4.5 million being transferred to this bookmaking operation? It's almost impossible for me to believe that no one would have known this.
Ohtani takes in upwards of $100 million a year, not even with baseball contract. Like,
right.
Just being Ohtani, how many people do you think he either employs or he pays to help handle his affairs?
A lot. If he probably has a bank, you know, whether it's Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, a Japanese bank, I have no idea. And within that, there are multiple people, probably dozens of people, who are working on various areas of his wealth, which is enormous. And the idea that this could escape all of them, that money could actually be transferred from that. Like, that's the worst way. If you're going to try and steal money from someone, transferring money from directly from their account is by far the worst way to do it. You're better off sneaking into their room while they're sleeping and hoping they have that much cash sitting around.
And he's not transferring the money to Panera Bread. He's right. He's transferring it to an illegal bookmaking place in California.
Yeah.
It's
like a very bad crime. Like, this is a poorly thought out crime, if indeed that's what it was. Cam, you had something.
What I keep going back to, and I know this, I said this yesterday, but I feel the need to restate the fact that it wasn't just Mizuhara that said that Ohtani covered the debts on Tuesday. Someone from Ohtani's camp said this before the news story they had on Wednesday. Now what they're going with, or at least what Ohtani said, was someone reached out to a representative in my camp inquiring about my potential involvement in this sports betting and then said Mizuhara never told him about that. So now they're painting Mizuhara out to be like the greatest con man of all time, that he's been deceiving Ohtani for years, lied on his resume, all this stuff. I know all this communication is filtered through Mizuhara to Ohtani, but how does not more than one person check with him before they put out Mizuhara for an interview? Hey, by the way, we're saying, and Mizuhara is saying, that you covered these debts. He's going to have this interview for 90 minutes telling everyone all about it. You're not going to know about it until tomorrow in the meeting when he gets fired and addresses the team. That's the part that most doesn't add up. It wasn't just Mizuhara saying that Ohtani covered the debts. It was someone who represents Ohtani, maybe the worst representative of all time, if that's what they're getting into. But someone from his camp said it first.
So, again, where we find ourselves is in a delicate place, because I'm not in a position to accuse anyone of illegal activity or anything, and I obviously don't know what happened. But the story, as it is being described to us, as it is being explained, is extremely difficult for me to believe. Perhaps not impossible, but close. Don't forget NBA action tomorrow night. Nuggets host the Suns, presented by Indeed. Coverage 9:30 Eastern on most of these ESPN radio stations. Meanwhile, there's another scandal from yesterday that could wind up having equally significant ramifications, and we'll explain that one next on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Greeny, the podcast.
All right, Greeny with you here on ESPN Radio. We are live at the Seaport, brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron. So we talked about the Shohei Ohtani situation, and it just is what it is. We're going to have to wait for further investigation to take place. But as I said, I find the explanation that is currently being offered very, very difficult to believe. And I don't feel comfortable going any further than that. Then we have this story from the NBA yesterday. This didn't get as much attention, I don't think, yesterday as I expected it to, maybe because it involves a player named Jontay Porter, whose brother, Michael Porter Jr., is much better known. But this is actually, I think, maybe an even more important story. So there was a game that was played on January 26th. Jontay Porter, playing for the Raptors, playing against the Clippers, had all these prop bets. All right, there are all these. You can bet every night on how much a player is going to accomplish in a game. And for Jontay Porter, again, not a well-known player, not someone you would think would attract a lot of betting attention. His over-unders that night were 5.5 points, 4.5 rebounds, 1.5 assists, and there was actually an over-under on made three-pointers, which was 0.5. There was enormously increased betting interest that day on the under for all those props. That evening, Porter played just 4 minutes before leaving the game because of what the Raptors said was an aggravation of an eye injury he had suffered 4 days earlier. He did not score. He had 3 rebounds, 1 assist, did not attempt a three. So the under on all those props hit. The next day, DraftKings Sportsbook said that the under on his three-pointers was the single biggest money winner for bettors of any NBA player props from across the league that night. 2 days later, Porter played 19 minutes in a game, scored 12 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. Now, fast forward. 2 months later, March 20th, they're playing Sacramento. Porter plays just 3 minutes in that game because of what the Raptors said was an illness. He did not return. He left after attempting one shot and had 2 rebounds. His over-unders had been set at 7.5 points and 5.5 rebounds. And the next day, DraftKings reported that his prop bets were the number one moneymaker from the night in the NBA. And so alarm bells go off. There are a lot of ramifications to this story. There are a lot of ways that it is important. There are some ways in which it is actually, I think, very good. But let's begin by saying the same thing we said about the Shohei Ohtani story, which is there is a perfectly innocent explanation for this, but I'm going to have a very hard time buying it. I'm going to have a very, very, very hard time buying that these things just happened coincidentally, that all these people out of nowhere, including someone who was trying to make bets of $10,000 or $20,000 at a time, were taking the, all of a sudden, just taking a flyer on the under on Jonte Porter props that night, and he played 3 and 4 minutes respectively in these two games. I'm going to have a very hard time believing that.
Yeah, so he came out of the game, you said, with an aggravation to an eye issue?
One of them was an aggravation to an eye injury. The other one, they said, was an illness.
Which is the kind of thing that the team would just have to take his word on, presumably, because what are they going to test to see if he's sick and send him back in the game? I mean, it's the exact kind of thing that just absolutely stinks. Stinks. There is it's a very difficult path for me to get to a place where this is innocent, exactly like you said. And the fact that it happened twice. I mean, this is the kind of thing that skeptics like me were very, very worried about when legalized gambling went crazy. You and others are going to probably tell me that the fact that we were able to unearth this was a good thing. But I think there's also a very strong argument to the contrary, and that's where I lie on this.
So my argument, to be clear, which you have begun making for me, is that in the past, if, and I won't even use Jonte Porter's name, if any player wanted to take part in something like this, it would have been done in the shadows and the darkness. The bets would have been placed offshore or with some not reputable illegal bookie. And it is much less likely that this would have been discovered, that they would have gotten caught. I think I told you, I did, because of a family connection, the first interview with the central figure of the Arizona State University basketball point shaving scandal. He's just someone that I happen to indirectly know. And when he got out of jail, I interviewed him for ESPN. And he told me the story very, very simply. He was a small-time college bookie at Arizona State. He just took bets for someone. I don't know who. And he took bets. And one of the basketball players on the team, Stevin Smith, who was like the star point guard on the team, was betting on other stuff, not on basketball, not on his own teams or anything. Just ran up some debt. A couple of $1,000s, not hundreds of thousands of dollars, just a few $1,000s, betting on hockey, I think it was, or something else. And he lost some money to him. He owed him some money. And the person who told me this story said to me that the basketball player just looked at him and said, "Man, I wish there was some way we could just make this go away." And that their eyes just met. And it was as simple as that. They did it. And it was a miracle that it was caught, because they did it so many times, they did it so repeatedly, and he told so many people he was doing it that it wound up attracting all this attention, and these huge gamblers started putting huge bets on it. But if it had only been the two of them, and they had been betting $1,000 at a time, then there was almost no way that would ever have been caught. So what I'm trying to say is, when you bring these things from the shadows into the light, I think that the good of that outweighs the bad of that.
That's a very well-made point. What I would argue in response, though, is that the NBA in this case, or the professional sports leagues at large, their embrace of legalized gambling, which has brought in almost incalculable revenue, has mainstreamed this. And so while you could certainly have done this before and potentially had a better chance of getting away with it, the amount of just general interest has exploded recently. So the applicant pool went from being like a select few degenerate types to literally every friend that I have.
Right.
So I am totally on board with the fact that we have the checks and balances in place to deal with this when this happens. But we also need to accept the fact that this is going to happen. And Jonte Porter is the exact kind of player for whom it sort of matches it all. He's not made a ton of money. The props are super low. He kind of controls his own playing time. And so I don't think we should be surprised if and when this thing happens again.
Fine. I think that's right. I think that's fair. And I think we those two things don't necessarily contradict each other.
No,
what
they don't.
I said and what you said mm-hmm. aren't necessarily contradictory to each other. I have been in favor of the legalization of gambling for a long time. People who listen to me doing local talk shows in Chicago in the early 90s heard me saying that. And I am not one who believes that we should make things illegal just because they are dangerous mm-hmm. and bad for you. Smoking cigarettes is extremely dangerous, extremely bad for you. It's not illegal in this country. We warn people about the dangers. It says right there on the packaging, this is really bad for you. Do it at your own risk. We must do the same thing with gambling. We must make it clear. Every advertisement that we do, that I do, says, if you're having problems with this, call 1-800-GAMBLER. I say it over and over and over again. If you ever find yourself inclined to gamble with money that you cannot easily afford to lose, stop. And if you can't stop, get help immediately. Because it can be a terrible thing. It can ruin your life. But it doesn't have to. And I've never been one who believes, if we were going to start going down the list of all the things that we would make illegal in our society because they could potentially be harmful to you, it's just a slippery slope.
No, sure.
And so mm-hmm. I'm in favor of it. I understand the concerns. And obviously something like this is disturbing at the very least. The league is investigating it. We had good insight from David Purdom and Woj on television this morning, and we'll continue to follow it. The league will investigate this. They will take it very seriously, of course. All right, we have some more fun on the way as we continue on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny, the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN, and also available wherever you get your podcasts.